Good morning and welcome to News from the Yuma Sun. I'm Marcia French, your volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona. And today, it's Thursday, July 30th. I have the weather, news from around town, no obituaries that were published on Tuesday, the 28th. It's fall sports, so I do have an article about fall training starting for football. We should have some time for state news. And of course, I'm going to start with the weather. Today, Thursday, the 30th, it should be 114 degrees for the high. Friday, the 31st, mostly sunny, 115 degrees. The high temperature in this forecast is for Saturday, the 1st. Again, 0% chance of precipitation, sunny, 117 degrees forecast with a low of 88. Sunday, sunny, 89 degrees for the low, 115 for the high, and Monday, again sunny, and 112 is the forecast for the high. Moving to the news, the commission backs rezoning for proposed Quick Trip. This article is by Michael Maresch, Yuma Sun reporter, from Tuesday, as are all my articles for today. The proposed Quick Trip Fueling Center and Convenience Store at the southeast corner of Araby Road and the 26th Street alignment moved one step closer Monday to becoming a reality. The Yuma Planning and Zoning Commission recommended that the City Council approve the rezoning of 22.5 acres from the Agriculture District to the General Commercial Aesthetic Overlay District for two undeveloped parcels on the property. Daniel Chambers of Quick Trip Corp., speaking on behalf of Perricone Heritage Properties, told the commission what the company proposes if the land is rezoned. Perricone's intent is to develop the gas station and convenience store on 6.8 acres at the intersection of Araby Road and the 26th Street alignment. The convenience store would be 8,296 square feet with two fuel canopies that could serve up to 24 automobiles and 14 trucks at one time. Development plans for the other 15.7 acres have not been provided. With the rezoning, the applicant must now apply for a conditional use permit to allow motor fuel sales. Other commercial uses, including retail, offices, and restaurants would be permitted in the general commercial district if they meet City of Yuma standards for setbacks, landscaping, and exterior lighting. At a June 9th neighborhood meeting attended by 26 residents, along with letters submitted to the planning department, several concerns were raised. Residents said the Quick Trip and other commercial development could worsen traffic conditions in the area. Knowing traffic would increase, the city, the Arizona Department of Transportation, and the applicant discussed traffic control measures. The proposal includes constructing a four-way traffic signal at Araby Road and 26th Street, extending 26th Street across the front of the property, and coordinating with ADOT on any entrances or exits along the agency's right-of-way. None of the parties objected to the plan. Tim and Eileen Dunn opposed the rezoning, saying the outcome would encourage trucks to stop at the site and then continue north through residential areas to US 95. We believe the corner should be developed that benefits not only the pass-through traffic, but also the local residents, the Dunns wrote. Yana Baker opposes the proposal of the QT at the location, too. I believe it will create safety hazards and increase traffic congestion in the area, she said. You would be opening the door to horrible possibilities with thousands of kids in the area. Resident Paul Kirschabell, a disabled Army veteran, supports Quick Trip coming to Yuma. He said he has lived across the United States and has experienced Quick Trip's newer cafe-style stores, which changed the experience for him. My next article here is Swap Meat Conditional Use Permit Approved. This article is by Michael Maresch, Yuma Sun reporter from Tuesday. The Yuma Planning and Zoning Commission on Monday recommended approval of a conditional use permit for an indoor swap meet along 40th Street between Avenue A and 4th Avenue, despite opposition from residents of the Desert Lakes community. The commission voted 4-1 in favor, with Jorge Gonzalez dissenting. Chairman Chris Hamill was absent. The 54-acre property, owned by Zide LLC, is expected to be split into three parcels. The swap meet would occupy about 16 acres and requires a conditional use permit because it is located in the General Commercial Airport Overlay District. Some potential impacts from large commercial development include noise, hours of operation, and indoor activities through the swap meet, even though it would be indoors. The business would be open 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Thursday through Sunday and sit roughly 200 feet from the nearest homes to the north. A 7-foot wrought iron fence would be installed around the development. The swap meet would include vendors selling new and used merchandise, a food court, beer garden, and a stage for live entertainment. Planning and zoning received several letters and calls in opposition to the request and one letter in support. Desert Lakes resident John Dixon said traffic is already congested when events are held at the Yuma Civic Center across the street. "Traffic is going to be really horrendous," Dixon said. "It's not the way for any residential area." In a letter, resident Diane Hansen wrote that while she accepted the noise from the Civic Center and Desert Sun Stadium when she bought her home, a swap meet would increase that noise. "The traffic and nuisance from the large swap meet would also increase our crime and non-residents in our community," she said. "Most importantly, it would directly affect everyone's property value." Ruth Velasquez, 77, said what concerns her is theft and drug use she believes the swap meet would bring into the retirement community. She said the days and hours of it being open and the increased traffic, noise, and trash are concerned. Velasquez also says she wants the developer to build a wall over a wrought iron fence. "I propose that a wall be built, not a fence, a wall of 6 to 8 feet tall around the boundary of Desert Lakes and the currently undeveloped property," she said. "A wall would offer protection from vandalism, noise, environmental concerns, and property values." Resident Rusty LeBeau asked the commission to put off any decision for a few weeks. "Look at this and see what is best for the city of Yuma," he said. "There are a lot of questions that need to be answered." Vianney Vega from Vega Engineering, who is working for the applicant, said the compliance issues with the city have been resolved and added the swap meet is privately funded with no help from the city and taxpayers. Commissioner Chelsea Maloof-Craig said she thinks a swap meet would be a great benefit for the city. Vice Chairman John Mahan said he is sympathetic to the community, but pointed out a private company owns that land and deserves to build on it. Gonzalez made a motion to deny the CUP, which is cheered by most of the audience and the council chambers, but it died due to a lack of a second before the motion was made for approval. Next article is that authorities seize arsenal and large drug shipment in San Luis Rio, Colorado. This is a staff report from Tuesday. This article is from San Luis Rio, Colorado, Sonora. Members of Mexico's National Guard carried out two major seizures in the city, confiscating 81 firearms and 425 kilograms of drugs linked to organized crime. The first operation occurred Thursday afternoon, July 23rd, when authorities executed a search warrant at a home on 20 de Noviembre Avenue between 17th and 18th Streets in the federal neighborhood. National Guard and Mexican Army personnel seized 81 long guns, including four machine guns, along with 128 magazines and more than 274,000 rounds of ammunition of various calibers. Officials also recovered a 2025 Jeep Cherokee reported stolen in Arizona. The property was placed under the custody of Mexico's Attorney General's Office, FGR, as investigators worked to identify the owners of the residence and the weapons. Authorities said the scale of the seizure makes it one of the most significant weapons confiscations in the region in recent months. Personnel from the Mexican Navy, Sonora State Police, and the Unified Police Command also assisted in the operation. On Friday, July 24th, authorities reported a second major seizure, 425 kilograms of synthetic drugs found in a cargo truck at the Cucapa Military Inspection Checkpoint on the city's eastern entrance. Mexico's Ministry of National Defense said Army and National Guard members discovered 406 kilograms of methamphetamine hidden inside 29 bags labeled as fertilizer, along with 19 kilograms of fentanyl packaged in six bundles. Authorities did not specify the shipment's intended destination. The truck and its driver were turned over to the Attorney General's office for further investigation. Turning to an article about this time of year, back-to-school shopping event. This was a photo article from the Yuma County Sheriff's Office from Tuesday, but the Yuma County Sheriff's Office deputies joined local first responders this week for the Fort Yuma Rotary Club's annual back-to-school shopping event, helping students pick out new supplies ahead of the first day of class. Deputies Rosales and Carver said they enjoyed meeting the kids and seeing their excitement for the coming school year. The sheriff's office said events like this help build positive relationships with local youth and strengthen community connections. YCSO thanked the Yuma Police Department and the Fort Yuma Rotary Club for the invitation to participate. Now it's to a Yuma Police and Sheriff's Office assist U.S. Marshals in nationwide sex offender operation. I had to get something light in between the crime. All right, going back to the report, it's Tuesday as the article. The Yuma Police Department and the Yuma County Sheriff's Office were among the Arizona agencies that assisted the U.S. Marshals Service during Operation Adams Watch, a multi-week nationwide effort marking the 20th anniversary of the Adam Walsh Child Protection and Safety Act. The operation, conducted across 37 federal judicial districts, resulted in the arrest of more than 330 fugitives wanted for failure to register as sex offenders, sexual assault, and other sex offense-related crimes. Agencies also conducted compliance checks on registered offenders. In Arizona, investigators targeted 186 sex offenders, completed 116 compliance checks, and arrested 12 fugitives wanted for failure to register, and 15 fugitives wanted for sexual assault or other sex offenses. Three offenders were federally charged under 18 U.S.C. Section 2250 for failure to register. Sergeant Lori Franklin of the Yuma Police Department said YPD officers participated in the operation on two consecutive Mondays this month, conducting compliance checks in the Yuma area. "No arrests were made," Franklin said. "Everybody they checked was in compliance." Spokesperson Tanya Pavlak said YCSO conducted compliance checks for 3 weeks, adding that while no statistics were immediately available, she was able to confirm that deputies did make some arrests. U.S. Marshal Van Bayless said the operation demonstrates the strength of coordinated enforcement. "Through the commitment and combined resources of our federal, state, and local partners, we are aggressively pursuing offenders who attempt to evade accountability," Bayless said. "This work is about protecting children, supporting survivors, and safeguarding the most vulnerable members of our communities." Among those arrested during the operation was Clarence Martin, 57, a convicted sex offender wanted on new charges, including sexual conduct with a minor, child molestation, and sexual assault. After investigators determined he had fled Arizona for Tyler, Texas, the U.S. Marshals Service located him at an automotive shop and arrested him without incident. In a separate case, the Arizona Wanted Violent Offender Task Force, working with Tucson and Prescott police, arrested John Lincoln Sperry, 65, who was wanted on two counts of sexual conduct with a minor. Investigators found him living and working in Prescott as a licensed clinical social worker specializing in sex addiction treatment. Arizona agencies participating in the Operation Adam's Watch included the Yuma Police Department, the Yuma County Sheriff's Office, Apache Junction Police Department, Buckeye Police Department, Chandler Police Department, Glendale Police Department, Maricopa County Adult Probation Department, Mesa Police Department, Prescott Police Department, Surprise Police Department, Tempe Police Department, and Tucson Police Department. Operation Adam's Watch concluded July 24th, 2026. You're listening to news from the Yuma Sun with Sun Sounds of Arizona. More crime today. YCSO Narcotics Task Force seizes meth and fentanyl during an early morning search. The Yuma County Narcotics Task Force seized methamphetamine, fentanyl, and a firearm during an early morning search warrant Tuesday at a home in the 12300 block of East 35th Street. This article is by James Gilbert, a Sun reporter from Tuesday. The warrant was served at about 6:51 a.m. by the multi-agency task force, which includes officers from the Yuma County Sheriff's Office and Homeland Security Investigations, along with additional YCSO investigators, HSI special agents, and YCSO deputies. With assistance from YCSO K9 CAS, investigators found approximately 153.29 grams of methamphetamine valued at an estimated $3,065.80, 3 M30 pills containing fentanyl, 2.83 grams of methamphetamine mixed with fentanyl, 3 Xanax pills, 50 cc's of methamphetamine, a firearm, and multiple items of paraphernalia consistent with street-level drug sales. The suspect, Jesuit Keeling, 50, of Yuma, was arrested and booked on charges including possession of dangerous drugs for sale, possession of dangerous drugs, possession of narcotic drugs, possession of drug paraphernalia, and multiple counts of misconduct, including weapons. The sheriff's office is asking residents to report suspected drug activity by calling 928-783-4427 or submitting an anonymous tip at the agency's website. Now I have a YCSO issues level 2 sex offender notification. This article is by James Gilbert from The Sun, and it's also from Tuesday. The Yuma County Sheriff's Office has issued a level 2 sex offender notification for Omar Juarez, 31, who has reported a new address in the Foothills area. According to the Sheriff's Office, Juarez is now living at 12706 East Tanya Drive in Yuma. He is described as 5 feet 6 inches tall, 148 pounds, with black hair and brown eyes. He is not wanted by law enforcement at this time. Juarez pleaded guilty on March 6, 2018 in Yuma County Superior Court to one count of sexual conduct with a minor. He was sentenced to 48 months of supervised intensive probation, and the victim was a female juvenile known to him. His probation was later revoked. On January 10, 2020, Juarez was sentenced to 1 year in the Arizona Department of Corrections, with credit for 138 days of time served prior to sentencing. The sheriff's office classifies Juarez as a level 2 sex offender, indicating an intermediate risk to reoffend. Under Arizona law, community notification is required when certain offenders are released from prison, accepted under interstate compact, or returned to the community after serving time in county jail. This notification is not intended to increase fear. Rather, it is our belief that an informed community is a safer community, the sheriff's office said. The YCSO emphasized that it had no legal authority to restrict where a registered offender may live unless court-ordered conditions apply. The public is also reminded that the information may not be used to threaten, intimidate, or harass offenders. Sex offenders have always lived in our communities, but because of Megan's Law, law enforcement is now able to share the information with you. the notice stated. Residents may sign up for free email alerts or search for offenders in their area through the county's Offender Watch program. Anyone with information about current criminal activity involving Juarez or any other offender is asked to contact the Yuma County Sheriff's Office at 928-783-4427. Here's something, a parade. Visit Yuma announces theme for the 24th annual Electric Light Parade. This is a staff report from Tuesday. Visit Yuma announced the theme of America 250, 250 years of history, for the 24th annual Dorothy Young Memorial Electric Light Parade that will take place on December 12th. The theme celebrates 250 years of American pride, inviting parade participants to showcase America's history, heritage, innovation, and community spirit through dazzling illuminated floats, vehicles, walking groups, and performances. First held in 2002, the Electric Light Parade has grown into Yuma's largest and most anticipated parade, drawing tens of thousands of spectators to downtown Yuma each year. Hosted by Visit Yuma, the annual tradition brings together residents, visitors, businesses, schools, nonprofits, and community organizations for an unforgettable evening of holiday celebrations. If we know two things Yuma loves, it's the United States being very patriotic and the holidays. Yuma celebrates a month of holiday fun. So we are excited to celebrate America 250 through one of Yuma's most cherished holiday traditions, which we celebrate the second Saturday of December, 1 week after the city of Yuma's downtown Christmas, and the week before the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area's Christmas at the Crossing, creating three incredible weekends of holiday celebration, said Marcus Carney, Executive Director of Visit Yuma. This year's theme offers a patriotic community the opportunity for creativity while honoring our nation's history and the holiday spirit that brings our community together, he added. Parade registration and sponsorship opportunities will officially open on September 1st. Businesses, organizations, schools, clubs, and community groups are encouraged to begin planning their illuminated entries now. Sponsorships provide an opportunity for local businesses to demonstrate their community support while receiving valuable exposure before, during, and after one of Yuma's premier annual events, noted Visit Yuma in a press release. Additional information regarding parade registration, sponsorship opportunities, volunteer opportunities, parade rules, and the event route will be released in the coming months. For parade updates, registration information, and sponsorship opportunities beginning September 1st, visit visityuma.com or follow Visit Yuma on social media. My firehouse facts today from San Luis and Yuma Fire Departments, and they're the ones who put together this article. The City of San Luis Fire Department responded to a total of 96 calls to service between July 15th and July 21st. The breakdown of responses, 83 for medical emergencies, 8 for public assistance, 1 for a fire, false alarm, 4 for community paramedicine. The Yuma Fire Department responded to 394 emergency calls for service between July 19th and July 25th. Their breakdown of responses, 14 fire responses, 9 mutual aid responses, 40 special duty and public assistance responses, 14 motor vehicle crashes, and 317 medical responses. As I mentioned earlier, I don't have any obituaries that were published on Tuesday. Moving to sports, training days. Rocks embark on 2026 season with annual fall camp. This article by Mac Friday, sports editor from Tuesday. Yuma Catholic football returned for its annual fall camp this past Monday, starting a 5-day process of 2-a-day practices, team meals, sleeping in dorms, and staying off their phones, as Arizona Western College becomes home for the week. It's good team bonding. It's getting to know each other better, first-year Yuma Catholic head coach Marty Schatzel said. We come together to develop chemistry, but also get to focus on the X's and O's and the technique, so you get a lot more out of it because we are here together for the week rather than going home every night. The coaches and the kids don't have to do chores. We can all focus on football. Practice each day starts with a walk through at 5:45 a.m., then a two-hour practice, which largely centers around going hard and fast in the morning when it's cool to serve as conditioning they don't have to do later in the day. Breakfast follows, then meetings throughout the morning and early afternoon. Weight training and treatment is inserted ahead of the evening practice around 6 p.m., before dinner at 9 p.m., and lights out at 10. Ahead of fall camp, most of Yuma Catholic players have a guesstimate of what the team looks like and is capable of, but the five-day odyssey always paints a clear picture of the team's outlook when they come out on the other side. This is a huge week for us to all get on the same page, YC senior quarterback Scout Reese said. We learn all of the basics again, so anything we learned over the summer, we review that and relearn it. We definitely have been learning and going over a lot. We also do a lot of different things to bond. We sit with different people at lunch, which helps us all get to know each other. And that's important because it takes a team to win games. It's not about individuals. So we all have to get to know each other. It's really fun. The Shamrocks went 7-5 in their first year at the 5A level last season and embark on a new journey with the ultra-experienced Schatzel at the helm. Formerly the offensive line coach for the team for the past three seasons, Schatzel is embracing his new role as the team's head coach. Camp has been more busy for me this year, Schatzel chuckled. I do a lot more administrative things, making sure all the kids are doing well, and I answer a lot of questions about the logistics of this whole operation. But on the field, being the head coach, it's been football practice, which is pretty much the same. YC opens the 2026 season at home against Notre Dame Prep on August 28th. I have a article here on YBBL's Dino Nuggets Challenger team receives a donation from Off-Road for Autism. This is by the Yuma Sun staff. The Dino Nuggets Challenger team, part of Yuma Boys Baseball League, received a $300 donation from Off-Road for Autism last week, a contribution which will help provide local children with disabilities the opportunity to participate in the upcoming baseball season. And now I'm out of time, so no state news today. I want to thank you for listening and being with me today. Wall Street Journal is next, and I hope you can stay tuned.